We are involved in a series right now a little bit. I'm heading towards prayer because to me, prayer is where it's at. But before we get to my prayer series, I want to do a faith series. Because when we come to God, we have to have a little bit of belief system straightened out so that when we do pray, we start to see things kind of change and work out the way that I believe God wants them to do so. So our series is on faith confession. This is part two of it, faith confession. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage today. Many of you have done this before, hopefully everybody. But have you ever prayed the prayer? That's what I call it, just kidding around, but it's the prayer of salvation found in Romans chapter 10. And, you know, we pray that prayer because our philosophy or doctrine, shall we say, that, you know, salvation is an experience. It's something that, you know, there's a point in our life where we finally decide to surrender our life to God. And then we, you know, we do what the Bible says to achieve that. And then instantaneously we're saved. Well, then also with that, you know, there goes sanctification where you grow in your faith and things like that. But we're not going to look at that today. But what we're going to see is the fact that that salvation experience is not just for one experience, but we need to see it as being a lifestyle. Now, I love to go to heaven. Some days more than others, amen. I'm ready sometimes, some days. Yeah, I'll stick around a while longer. But, you know, there's more to the Christian walk than just the rapture bus where we're going to get out of here and, you know, go on into the next life. You know, I think, you know, heaven would have been good enough if Jesus would have only offered that. You know, but God's given us so much more in our life that we can really possess. And we're going to look at this familiar passage today that I believe is going to help us in our journey of life. And it's one of those that if you do this thing, you're going to get this thing. You know what I mean? In Scripture. Because sometimes there's always something that we do, and then God says He'll do this for us. And that's a promise for this passage. Our passage is found in Romans chapter 10, and it's verse 8 to 10. And this is something, if you're out, you know, leading people to Christ, it's a passage that you should probably get down in your heart so that you're very familiar with it. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. For with the heart, the person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now we know there's a little bit more to it. There's a couple other steps, but this is a very powerful passage that I believe that God wants us to really impregnate in our heart to really give birth to some revelation He wants us to have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time and this opportunity You've given us to come together. Lord, I thank You that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I pray for the penetrating power of Your presence just to manifest here today, to be able to stir us up on the inside. And Lord, I ask for that stirring to be inside of me as I yield to the gift that You put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, we're talking about faith confession and how important that is, because a lot of times, you know, we don't really deal with this issue. Now, a little bit about last week. Remember, we looked in Corinthians that Paul talked about the spirit of faith and that he said that we need to speak out. Words are important. Whether we want to accept it or not, words are very important, especially in the walk with God and in our kingdom experience that we have with Him. Now, we looked at either we can operate like a Thomas or we can operate like a Peter. Thomas says he missed out on seeing Jesus that day, and he says, I will not believe unless I see. Well, Peter, on the other hand, when he's seen Jesus, he just hopped out of the boat. He said, I'm going to Him. So we all, I believe, want to be a Peter. We all want to get out of that boat. But it takes something on our part to be able to get our faith built up to get to that place. And so today we're going to weave in and out some things and some concepts that we looked at last week. Now my first point I want to look at today, this says, is the word of faith. Now, this passage really doesn't start right here, but it starts earlier in this chapter, and not even in this chapter. It starts, you know, towards the end of chapter 8, this theme of thinking that the Apostle Paul was trying to get through to the people. And it's something that, you know, we need to, as we look at Scripture, we just need not to pick out that Scripture, but we need to look around a little bit and kind of get the full picture of what it's saying. But what it's looking at here is the idea Paul was challenging his own people. Now the Jews, it says there up earlier, it says the Jews stumbled over the stumbling stone, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, and he came with a little bit different message than Moses had. Moses brought the law, which is a bunch of rules and regulations, and Jesus come with the message, which was a continuation, I believe, of Abraham's message about righteousness and faith and how all these things kind of work in together. So the law came as a tutor. Now we know that. Now the Jews, they struggled to hold on to the law because that was their heritage. Now pride is a powerful tool of the enemy. He'll trick us and get us into pride of thinking, you know, certain things and maybe about our own faith and about our own things and our walk with God. And that's what he was doing to the Jews a little bit. You know, they were keepers of the law, but yet they knew they couldn't keep the law. So it's kind of a weird relationship they had there with God. And we're the same way. And what happens sometimes when you start messing with people's beliefs, the fur gets to flying, doesn't it? I mean, they wanted to rip Paul limb from limb a lot of times. He'd go out and preach in the temple. His heart was for his own people. And on his missionary journeys, he would go into the temple and start telling them about Jesus. And they'd get all mad, and they would stone him. They would beat him. He was beaten with rods. All these different things happened to him because they were so adamant that they were right, but they were so wrong. Because God came to give a different message, a continuation, really a fulfillment of what he has for his people. And that's the idea that the just shall live by faith and that righteousness can be imputed to our account and how important that is and what difference that makes in our walk with him. So the Jews, like many of us sometimes, were a measuring stick kind of people. Now I know what it means to be a measuring stick kind of people. When I was young, you know, I remember going up to either Adventureland or we was down at Six Flags or something, but, you know, I've had a condition my whole life that I've had to deal with that maybe some other people don't have, but I'm a short person. You know what I mean? And I remember, you know, I was wanting to get on this big roller coaster. And I was in line, and I was looking up the line, and all of a sudden, I seen a sign. Maybe you've seen that sign. It says, you must be this tall to ride this ride. And I was looking at that sign, and it didn't look like I was going to make it. I didn't measure up. So they let me on the ride. I mean, when I got there, I kind of got on my toes. I was walking like this when I went by the person, you know. But I know what it's like to not measure up sometimes. And it's like that in our relationship with God. Sometimes we just feel like we maybe don't measure up because we look at our failures and we look at our insecurities. Now, what we need to do is to grasp a different way of looking at things because none of us are going to make it. See, that's what the bad news is of the law saying you're just not good enough. See, the good news is that Jesus paid for us and it's hard for us to grasp the same thinking that Abraham had. He came before the law. And what Abraham brought is a message of faith on how that it brings freedom from the law. And what that does is that righteousness is imputed to our account. Now, I don't really think that sometimes we totally grasp what it means to walk in God's righteousness. You know, but I do know that if we get it, it's like when we come to God, we just feel like we belong. That we're a part of that, and that we fit in. It doesn't matter what we've done. What matters is who we are now in that relationship with Jesus Christ and what he came to give us. Now, when righteousness is imputed to our account, it's like we have a bank account, and then somebody puts that into it. It's there for us to draw out. Now, to me, it's better than earned income credit. I don't receive that anymore. My kids are all grown up, but it's a great system if you have kids. The government pays you, don't they? I mean, sometimes it's a pretty substantial amount of money. You file your taxes, and then you turn them in, and then all of a sudden they give you this money back. Money that you never really earned, but you did because you had a kid. Now, it kind of balances out because it costs a lot to raise a kid, right? Earned income credit. You may get, you know, I can't remember how much it is per head, you know, for a kid, but you get that tax money back. Well, what God has given us is something that we can earn, and that's grace. He puts that in our account. It's unearned grace is what it is, because we can't, that's what great grace is that we can't earn it, and it's fair for all. Now, I do know, because I've been around a while, that people who make too much money don't maybe get that earned income credit, and they get mad because they have to pay in all their taxes and do all this work, and then that money goes to somebody who doesn't have as much money, and they don't think that's fair. But see, with God, with grace, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like that in some degree. It doesn't matter where you come from, whether you're rich or poor, whether you, whoever you are, no matter what the color of your skin is. But God offers the same grace to all of us, that you can tap into that gift that God has given us where we can walk in His righteousness. See, that's why Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, their countenance fell. And what happened then is that they didn't feel they were good enough to be with God anymore. That's why they hid from Him. But see, when righteousness is imputed or given to us, then it's like we feel comfortable being in the presence of God. And that's what God wants us to be. And the reason why I'm trying to get to this, because this is going to help us when we start to release our faith bombs and we start to take back the ground that Satan has stolen from us. Because he's stolen from us. He's ripped us off. Because we've believed the lie for too long. And now, you know, we've gotten to the place where, you know, God's given us choices all along. I am not a Calvinist in any way, shape, or form. I believe God has given us a free will. And part of that free will is the fact that we can choose to either have God's righteousness or our righteousness, meaning God will reward us based on what we do, or God will reward us based on what Jesus has done. It's our choice. You know, we can try to work our way and do all these good deeds and try to say, hey, God, look what I'm doing. You know, so-and-so over there, they haven't been in church for several weeks, but I've been there. You know, look what I'm doing. I'm helping out with this, or I'm doing that. And I've, you know, and so we start to, you know, we think God's going to reward us based on this kind of a performance system, but it doesn't work like that. Now, if we're doing it God's way by His righteousness, God gives it to us because we believe that we receive it because we believed in Jesus Christ. And then the proper way is that we go out and do all these things because we want to give glory to God, not based on what we want everybody to see about us. So it sets us free totally from that performance mentality. Because what happened is that Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. And that's why the Jews could not accept that, because they were the keepers of the law. It was so hard on them to get rid of something they had trusted in so long. And maybe we're here today and we've been trusting in religion and trusting in that, but I just want us to get to the place where we just trust in Jesus. Because when we get to that place, we can walk in His power and we can walk in His freedom. Now, the next thing I want to look at with this passage is the idea of our belief system. Because the scripture says, it's so important here, it says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, so your mouth is important. But then it says, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For at the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, so that's why it's important to have the right belief system. And then after you have the belief system, you have to speak it out. And with the mouth, we confess it. So these two things are so interlinked together. And when we choose to do it God's way, we start to walk in God's power. And that's where we want to be, I hope, to walk in God's power. So the belief system, I think that if we believe right, we will speak right. And that's what we're talking about in this series, the idea of what comes out of our mouth. Now, our understanding of righteousness is very important. Now, I've taught on this a long time ago especially, but you know, righteousness, what it means is right wiseness or right standing. You know, right wiseness is an old English word they used to use to explain this this revelation. There is not probably American terminology totally to grasp it all like we're supposed to get it. But right standing does help a lot. Now, what I want us to see is the fact that what we speak is tied a lot to what how we see ourselves in the grand scheme of things. You know, remember last week, Paul says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, when we go around talking, you know, our mouth is tied a lot, if not totally, to our belief system of really what we see around us. You know, and really, it's tied to what we see about ourselves. How do we see ourselves? You know, are we an inferior person? Meaning we think we're inferior to those around us. You know, if we feel inferior, then we speak that out. Whether we know it or not, it's connected to our belief system. It's connected to our mouth. And what I'm trying to say is that, we're going to get into this a little later, is the fact that words kind of frame things. You can set things up. And, you know, we've went over this before. You know, you can walk up to somebody and say, boy, that's a beautiful outfit. And man, you just opened the door for conversation right there, right? Or you can say, man, you look like something the cat drug in. Well, the conversation's over, right? All depends how you frame it. You know, I'm not saying manipulation and stuff like that, but I mean, words do matter. Because God used words to create the heavens and earth. He could have thought it, but he didn't do it that way. He said he spoke. And so that's why we need to get to the place where we understand, you know, how important it is that our belief system, we get that dealt with deep down inside, so that when we speak things, we're sending seeds of life instead of seeds of death. Because words are like seeds. And when you send those seeds out, they're going to find places to land and they're going to try to grow. Now, I don't want to take all the fun where we're just watching everybody's mouth all the time, you know. But I'm just saying there is a lot of truth to what I'm saying here today. And it all depends on he who has ears to hear, let him hear, right? If we want to get to the next level, we want to get to another place in our walk with God, then maybe we have to start to operate in some of the principles that God has laid out in Scripture. And they're exciting, really. It's fun. Once we start to get some of these things turned around, it's really not hard. So as we understand that righteousness, so it's important to get our belief system down. Like I said, position is everything. The Scripture says if we do certain things, we can be the head and not the tail. Now, I've never been in a costume or a horse costume with somebody, but I do know this. If I was in a horse costume, I would want to be on the front end. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be the head and not the tail. You know, and the Scripture says also you can be above and not below. You know, so it depends. You know, I like that old movie. Was it Tom Cruise, With Me or Against Me or whatever it was? You know, I want to be with God. I want to be up and raised up and, you know, be able to rule and reign with Him. So what I think that really helps us is we need to see through the eye of faith. Because sometimes we're not there yet. And I know we're not, because I know I'm not there, and I know that we're probably all have fighting similar battles in our life. So I believe that we need to see it so that we can believe it. And see, we can't just conjure these things up and, you know, maybe change our life. And because that's where the Word of God comes in. As we read the Word of God and we start to see what Jesus says about us, and what he says that we can accomplish and what we can do. And then we can say, yeah, I see that. I see myself in that. Because when I came to Christ, I remember, you know, I had a lot of issues, just like everybody else. I had a lot of insecurities, and like I said, I had this short thing going on, you know, and you know, I'm not going to go into all my problems. You can probably see a lot of them that I have by looking at me today, you know, but I do know that as I started to allow the process of change happen, the Word of God, I started to believe more about what the Word of God said than what I seen in the mirror. And it totally changed my life. It didn't matter what the mirror said anymore. What matters is what the Word says. Because the Bible also said in James that the Word of God is a mirror. And we can look at that mirror and see who God says we are. And when we do that, then we start to walk in a greater level of victory. See, we don't want to be like Thomas and just see with our natural eyes and be bound by the gravity of this world that is trying to hold us back. You know, the Bible says that with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. And that's why we need to guard our heart. And I'll be honest, our culture, our generation, where we're at right now, we're being bombarded so many different ways of so much information coming into our lives, coming into our soul, trying to attack our heart, trying to attack our identity in Christ, trying to pull us back and tell us we can't when God says we can. We have all these things trying to hold us down, so that's why we've got to resist. We need to be part of the resistance and fight the good fight of faith. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need church. You know, so we can get built up and build our faith up and find out and remember that God says we can, because we got to guard that heart, because our heart carries our belief system. You know, it's like an operating system on a computer. I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm a survivor. I've had to learn a lot about computers on how to fix certain things. And I do know this, that a computer is programmed to work a certain way. You can't make it go against its operating system. It won't do things that it's not programmed to do. But what happens along the while, and, you know, these people ought to be totally, you know, I don't believe in, you know, they probably ought to be put to death for this, but I do believe they need to go to jail. Them hackers, those guys that send viruses out. I mean, what joy do they get? They want your computer to get a virus so it becomes inoperable. Has anybody had their computer taken over by a virus a time or two? I mean, that's why you buy virus software. You know, but your computer will get taken over. And I remember one time, I think I did have to pay that ransom. I think they hit me up for $50. The kids were looking for a moped or something, and they clicked on some foreign website by accident, and all of a sudden, boom, all these alarms and whistles started going off on the computer, and it says, warning, you cannot, and you couldn't click out no matter what you did. You shut it off, turn it back on, boom, it's right there. It was a pretty strong virus. I paid the ransom. You know, I didn't like it, but I paid it because I wanted to rescue my computer because I had a lot of stuff on it. But see, our heart is like an operating system. We need to rescue our heart. We can't let those viruses come in that try to destroy us and take control of us and keep telling us things that are contrary to what God says in His Word. And so that's why, you know, we need to understand the concept of what Jesus Christ came to do and to be able to set us free. Now, one program, I mean, I have virus software, but another program I think is kind of cool is that Sea Cleaner. You know, I'm not doing an advertisement. I'm not getting paid for this today. But, you know, that Sea Cleaner goes in there and it'll get rid of some of your temporary files. It slows your computer down. It'll clean your registry. You know, and I know another Sea Cleaner. Amen. Christ Cleaner. He'll clean out our heart. He'll get rid of that junk and all that stuff that's inside of us. Stuff that holds us back. Things, files and things in our heart that we don't need. Lies that's been spoken over our lives and over our minds. Maybe by inadvertent people that love us that spoke a lie. And it's been forcing us to think a certain way. That's called a stronghold. So we need to break those things. See, the world has programmed us to fall short, but God has programmed us to go long. God is in us, with us for the long haul, and we can make the victory that way. Now, lastly, we're going to look at confession, and this is where we're getting what we need to start doing. Because the Bible does say, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. You know, it's going to come out. If you follow somebody around or talk to somebody, you're with them for a while, if you let them talk long enough, you really find out who they are, right? We can all pretend to be somebody else for a while, right? When we go into a new situation, maybe meeting somebody, and we can pretend to be somebody else. But if you're there long enough, after a while, your heart will give you away, because what we say will give us away. So that's how we tell. And that's why we need to be proactive. And that's where confession comes into it. You know, we passed out little confession books in the past. I don't know if we have any more around here. But some of these things, when you get some scripture, and with the, you know, the internet and everything, you could actually, you know, put some good scriptures together to start praying over them and starting to change things. And what the word confession means, to agree with or consent to the idea of another. You know, we can either consent or think like we think, or we can consent to an idea of another, meaning God. And we can start to release the things that God wants to be released in this world. And, you know, the idea is that we need to line our mouth up with the Word of God, because God's Word is alive. You know, like I said, we want to release those faith bombs. See, the spiritual world around us is subject to change. Change by God's Word. I don't want to go in this too far today, but when the Holy Spirit hovered over this earth, and without void, God spoke, and then all of a sudden something came there. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying we have God-like power, but I do know that God told us to use the same operating system, meaning release words of faith based on what we believe, and we can start to see change happen in our life. You know, maybe you've been browbeaten your whole life and put down and told that you cannot accomplish anything, that you'll never be good enough because of the mistakes you've made. You've been branded by somebody. But I'm telling you, take on Christ's brand. Take on the cross. Let that turn your life around. Because Jesus Christ came to set us free, and that's where we need to be. Verse 9, you know, as we're releasing those faith bombs, verse 9 has the word saved there. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, we won't go into what Lord means, but it means master, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. That word saved is talking about the Greek word sozo. Sozo. And what that means, it doesn't say heaven. What it means is deliverance from danger or destruction. Another meaning that I want us to see today, it means to make whole. Before we're saved, we go through life missing, I believe, a piece to our puzzle. I don't know about you, but I'm puzzling sometimes. Ask my wife. You know, I'm very confusing sometimes. So I'm puzzling. And we all have a puzzle. Our life is like a puzzle. And it's hard as you go through life, you know, and you remember some of the big decisions that you had. You maybe don't know what to do in life, you know. Maybe you don't know what your career is going to be. You had a hard time maybe figuring that out, or maybe, you know, who you were going to marry, or if anybody's going to marry you at all, you know. You got all these things going on in your life, and you're thinking about these things, and, oh, man, what do I do? Things are just so overwhelming. But I wanted to see that what I found out, which helped me with everything else, is that Jesus Christ is the missing piece to the puzzle of our life. And when we put Jesus Christ in that hole where only He fits, then we're going to start to see things come together. Because I do remember struggling with these things. And when I accepted Jesus Christ, He made me whole. Because I was chasing after so many things, trying to fix this missing piece. But then Jesus, when He came, He changed my life and put me back together again. We win because He won. You know, we need to start walking in victory. You know, battles will come, but we need to operate from the place of victory. And we need to speak the answer instead of always confessing the problem. I'm winding down here a little bit. But I want us to get to the place. I don't want us to feel that we can't share our problems with people. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying we don't want to be the person that just goes out, because we do need prayer, you know, from other people. But we don't want to be the type of person that just goes out talking negative. And I don't know about you, but have you ever hung around with negative Ned or negative Nelly? I think we all have. Hopefully we haven't been that person. If we have, we can change. But you're with somebody, and after a while, they're just saying, you know, this negative thing and this negative thing and this negative thing. And before you know it, you have a negative thing going on in your life. Because their influence has influenced you for the wrong way. So we need to turn that around. We need to, you know, either, you know, pray with them or, you know, kind of guard our heart. Earplugs ain't a bad idea. Been there, did that. You know, whatever it takes. But what I want us to see is that we can't let our problems become our belief system, because that's what happens. Now, my family has had a tough year this year. You know, a lot of different health things have come in. You know, things that, you know, maybe we couldn't explain. You know, my wife's back, and then I went ahead and had my little surgery that I did, and just different things. And there for 6 or 7 months, you know, it was just tough. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, and just one thing after another, that things ain't going the way that you want, you know, that can become your belief system. Before you know it, you might be expecting bad things all the time. You know, if it wasn't for the Word of God. The Word of God. Because I know a lot of people, they, you know, when we were going through that, I guess, you know, I just go, man, you know, I know how we feel, and we've only been through this 6 or 7 months. I know people that's went through this stuff for years. You know, we need to pray for them, brothers and sisters. We need to go encourage them. Because a lot of these things happen, you know, and you know, people go through some stuff. And that's why we as a body need to be there for other people. It comes back to speaking the word. Now, as I close this out, I want to give us the challenge. The same challenge I mentioned last week is that I believe that we need a buddy system when we're trying to change our mouth and get it working right. Because sometimes we can't do it alone. And just a full disclaimer, I don't want us to do this unless we're mature enough to take correction. How many likes to be corrected? Just Jackson. One of all of us. I don't mind it sometimes. You know, I have a prophecy motive gift, and one of our gifting is that we want to be fixed. You know, so I don't mind correction long as it's with the right tone, amen. But, you know, I think we need to get friends and people in our life and then give them the opportunity to, hey, if I start speaking death, tell me about it. Let me know. Let me know if I'm speaking death. Let me know if my mouth is saying things that are negative. You know, gossip, you know that's a negative thing? Or, you know, just releasing negative seeds out of there. And just do that. But yeah, like I say, only do it if you're mature. And then from it, when you say them, just repent. And what will happen is that it'll help us to get back to the place where we can frame our world forward instead of backward. God spoke to me and said, to be teachable, we must be reachable. To be teachable, we must be reachable. Meaning, we have to let people into our life. Because iron sharpens iron. Now, as we're turning our life around, it begins with turning our mouth around. You know, saying what we think is only good if we are thinking right. You know, I remember this scripture God showed me years ago when I lived in Denver. The psalmist said it in Psalms 141, verse 3. It said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. And God is a good God, and He will help us in our walk. And I encourage you to employ that and desire it for your own life, because I want everybody connected to this church to be walking in all the power that God has for them, to be able to walk in victory, to be able to go out and change lives, not just walk in victory for ourselves, but help other people. Because unless we show them how, a lot of people won't do it, and that's why we need to be proactive in our faith. Amen. Reaching out to a lost and dying world. Taking back this generation for Christ. And one person can't do it, but we all can unite our faith together and do it for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for the knowledge of Your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That, Lord, we know that You've called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Lord, that we're never the same. Lord, we're not talking about religion, joining a club. But Lord, we're talking about relationship. The importance that it is to have a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I made that decision, November 5th, 1983. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision for yourself. You've thought about it. I prayed to Jesus every night, but I never had a relationship with him. Not until I felt convicted of my sin that I knew that I needed to make my life right with God, that I make that final decision. And maybe the Holy Spirit is touching you today. And you're saying, yes, that's me, Pastor Brad. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to make my life right again. Just slip up your hand if you'd like to do that. Maybe you've never done it and you want to do it, or maybe you want to, maybe you've done it and you've fallen cold and you want to get back to where you were. Don't want anybody to leave this place not knowing for sure. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody? Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Brad, that's me. My mouth isn't quite right. I speak death and not life, and I want to turn that around. I don't want to be a negative Ned or a negative Nelly, but I want to start speaking words of life. Just slip up your hand and put it down. We're going to pray today. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. And Lord, we ask for change to be in our mouth. Lord, we know that our mouth, our tongue is a sword. And Lord, we don't want to use it to cut people to pieces. But Lord, we want to use it to cut away the shackles that are holding them back. Lord, just use us, change us. Set a guard over our mouth, O Lord. And Lord, we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anybody here need special prayer today? Hands laid on them before we dismiss. All righty. Amen. So we got to move, what was it, five rows?
Five rows.
Five rows. All right. We will close. Yes, Jackson? What do you say?
For a job.
Okay, amen. I mean, this is pray for favor for Jackson. He's applied at Walmart. And Chaz has concussion. Okay. Father, we lift up Jackson for a job, Lord. We thank you that favor surrounds him like a shield. Psalms 5:12 just rests upon him. And Lord, I thank you for just opening doors that no man or devil can shut. And also for Chaz with the concussion. Lord, we pray that for clarity, just clarity in his mind. And Lord, just watch over him and protect him this year as he plays, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Yes.
My brother is released from the hospital.
He got home?
Yeah, he was released. His wife is still in the ICU. She's not doing very good. But he is released and, like, healing well and quickly. So Audrey. So I'm going to give an update.
Audrey.
Yeah, Audrey's still pretty bad.
This is a grief for her right now. Amen. Amen. Audrey? Aubrey.
Audrey.
D? Okay. Father God, I just know it was honey on Facebook, so I didn't. Father, I thank you for Audrey and your hand upon her, Lord. We know this is a terrible attack that's came across her family and body and her and Lebecca's brother, Lord. We just pray for just a special touch of healing upon them. Lord, just turn that situation around. What the enemy meant for evil, Lord, turn it around for good. Let it be a testimony of your glory and your power working in the lives of people. And we claim victory for her, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Appreciate you letting me be a little long-winded today.